Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
With words from my mouth, I love. I won't harm you with the words that come from my mouth. That transcends religion. Woo! When we can get beyond labels, and when we can embrace the labels and pull out the truth, when we can really get to the bottom of things, we realize that we are one. We need each other. We join together in consciousness. And if that's too deep, we're joined together by nationality, by race, by sexual orientation, by culture, by tradition, by gender. All the things that we use to separate ourselves, we're joined together. Because you may not like somebody for what they look like, they have somebody in their family that loves them. You may not like somebody from the country they're born in, there's somebody in their country that's saying, that's our own. So we need to stop the you know what and pray and declare the truth for one another so we can heal the social ills in the world. Because if you fall prey to the labels and think you're better than and separate, guess what? We're all going down with the ship. I won't harm you with the words that come from my mouth. Sometimes I may not even know what to pray for, pray about, or pray with. So I need you. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you believe. Hold me up in consciousness. Hezekiah Walker, I need you to survive. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the house of love. Love ain't passive, you know. Yes, yes, yes. To find out more about Hezekiah Walker, his virtual home is HezekiahWalkerMinistries.org. We can go deep down, we can look beyond, we can rise above and see that really we all want to be recognized, acknowledged, heard, realize that we're all important, we're all significant. And while we're enjoying this video game called life, maybe we need to reinvent. That's why we do what we do here. So we can design a new video game. And we don't have to kill each other to advance. We can lift each other up. Ooh, yes. Good evening. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good day to you, wherever you might be at this very moment in time. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for tuning into yourself first and then tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And you know when you change with the change, you make a mighty difference. You're tuned in, you're listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on lifeconversationsradio.com. We're having some uncomfortable conversations. We're having conversations that just sometimes takes you to a deep place. But we invite you to bring it here because one of the things Rev D does so well is to create a safe space for us to have the conversation, to think out loud, to develop the courage enough to step into other people's world and see what are they thinking? Why do they think this represents heritage? And I think it represents slavery. You know what I mean? And it comes in so many ways, gender orientation. And I love how, you know, if you pay attention, Rev D, she'd be teaching. So I'm actually going to stop saying that because, you know, of course, sexual orientation is not just it's not exclusive to same gender loving people. And one of the things she said last week, I wrote down, I said, oh, I got to include that in my consciousness. She said, male couples or female couples, we got to rethink what we think. The number is 347-426-3346. Who am I? I am that I am. I am the producer of the show. I am Ade, life coach Ade. I host a show on Life Conversations Radio every week on Mondays. And today I'm here to just keep the conversation flowing. So I'm inviting you to join the conversation. And especially if you've been very vocal about different subjects, some of you that listen, I see your comments on Facebook. I don't get involved. I just observe because I do it on my show. You hear everything you need to hear when you listen to my show. So this is a good place to iron out, to deal with your own triggers, to get guidance, because we need each other. It's really that simple. It might not sound powerful, but it's that simple. We need each other. 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Jolay. I just had a blank there. I'm like, no, it's not Jay. Jolay. Gladys, nice to see you. Silent listeners, disguised as guests. Those of you listening to the archive, we welcome you and we thank you for being here. Those of you who share the show during the show when it's live or other times, thank you. Thank you, because this is how we, you know, we start to allow ourselves to think differently and ask the difficult questions and be willing to go deeper and not just buy into what we're fed. So without further ado, I want to bring on Rev D. The number once again is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press one on your keypad. And, you know, you have questions you're struggling with, this is a place to air it out. If you're seeking understanding and you want some guidance and you're struggling with a point of view, Rev D brings so much wealth and wisdom to the table and love and compassion that, you know, as you start to open up your mouth, you start to feel the healing right there and then. Rev D, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome to everybody.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We're ready. We want to continue the conversation. I call the topic spirituality, politics, social issues, and personal responsibility. And oftentimes, those things don't mix. But listening to you, hanging around you, be it virtually, I learned so much. And I just wanted to sort of continue the same conversation. And, you know, with the listeners, we are always looking for your feedback. But I would like us to continue to have more of this conversation, because I think it's missing sometimes. It's either they're talking about what's going on in the political world and we keep religion or spirituality to the side, or we bring spirituality, or when we talk about race, that's when you see particular kind of experts on the news. And after that, when they're dealing with other issues, we don't see them. But this is a platform for you to bring all of it to the table and see how, you know, just a space to understand what's your role in all of it, rather than just pointing fingers. So, Rev D, thank you for being here. I'm happy to have you. I'm happy for this show. And I just thank you. I just thank you for your courage, your willingness to help humanity move forward, and how you just have a way of breaking down the difficult conversations. And also, while at the same time, getting us thinking, what did she just say? Because there's some things you said last week, I'm still holding my head like, we have to go deeper in that because my head is still hurting. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. What you talking about, Willis? So what's been going on in your world?
You know, life is good. You know, there's always stuff. But life is good. And I can always fall back on that no matter what is going on in the outer world, mm-hmm. that I really do know that God is good all the time. Mm. I really, really, really do know that. Yes. So I am resting. I'm really resting in that. I was a guest speaker at another church, Centers for Spiritual Living, Santa Rosa Church, mm-hmm. which is about 2.5 hours away from me. There on Sunday, I did their 3 services and then a workshop on the power of intention after that. Really rewarding. Then I went into San Francisco. There's an organization I'm on the board of directors of that's about environmental sustainability and social justice, as well as our spiritual fulfillment. And so it's been a busy few days. And in that environment, lots and lots and lots of talk about what's up, current events. That was the topic for this particular board meeting. Just where are we in the world? And as an organization, like, are we really doing the things that we should be doing?
Right.
It's an exciting time. There's no question about it. And change is in the air.
Mm.
So what is hurting your head?
You know, I want to ask you something, but to answer your question, let's see. Now, when I look at in the world, I can say that really being part of this show does, it's like food for my soul and my consciousness and my mind. So when I get wrapped up a little, there's enough to pull me back. So when I look out in the world, I really do believe that life is good. Now, when you ask me what's going on in my world, I can only personalize it because I'm just at a stage now where I'm looking at some of the things that I used to do that just no longer serving me. I'm looking at things I did that it's because I thought I needed to do it, but it's BS. So I'm really challenging myself like, no, that's BS. I don't say BS. I go all the way out. I might even use the flip word every now and then. It's like, I'm doing things differently. I'm choosing a different way of living and being. And the interesting part of it is I find that in that declaration, I'm being called out. You know, I've been called up. I'm realizing that I have to step up in places where I've been procrastinating, of things that I didn't want to say or things I didn't want to do. Now I've got to represent my new declaration. So it's a place of, there's a sort of scaredness to it and a place of vulnerability. And sometimes saying like, oh my God, did I just say that? But really trusting the process, because I really do know that there is something else that is orchestrating my life. And one of my promise to myself is when I make my transition, I don't want to leave this planet with regrets. So I'm challenging myself to step out there more where I need to, not just for the sake of it. And I think even the format that we're moving to now for me is part of this. Like, let's have these difficult conversations, be it about race, be it about politics, and be it about Trump. But we are not going to talk about Trump. We are not going to fuel that flame. I refuse, unless you want to go there, but I'm not. So what I want to do is come back to something that you said. There are a lot of people who are part of, you know, the social justice movement. They're religious, they're spiritual, they believe in a higher power. And in the Christian community, there's a mantra: God is good all the time, God is good. And sometimes it's kind of just seems like something people say. And then there were people who would say, well, with all that's going on in the world right now, I mean, why would God just stand around and let this happen? Where is God in all of this? And so you say God is good. Can you speak to that, what you mean when you say God is good, even while there's all craziness going on in the world?
Yes. When I say God is good, I'm talking about a benevolent good, a good that is transcendent of the individual circumstances that may be going on in anybody's life. When I say that God is good, I'm saying that there is an order, that nothing is random, that, you know, when I go to the prison and I see birds making nests in the barbed wire, that we live in a universe, that there's only one power, there's only one presence, and that one power never works against itself. You can't find evil in the world except for human beings. Evil does not exist in nature. If you were to take human beings off the planet, there would be no evil. Evil is just what happens when human beings forget that they are spiritual beings. That's all. When human the evilness that we see is not a measurement of our goodness or our badness. It is a measurement of our ignorance. And perhaps it's not captured anywhere as eloquently, and I just watched this again last night, President Obama's eulogy of Reverend Clemente Pinckney, the pastor from Emmanuel AME that was shot and killed along with his other congregants in Charleston, South Carolina. And it just went viral everywhere. The president kept speaking about grace. And then he broke out in amazing grace. I once was lost, and now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So for me, when I say that God is good, what I am saying is that there is that place and that space that's always available and waiting for us to reawaken. It doesn't get lost with us. It doesn't get confused with us. It doesn't hate with us and get off purpose with us. It just awaits our awakening. And quite frankly, I think that people need to stop blaming God for human actions. People need to stop blaming God for that. And it's so interesting to me because I find that people are very hypocritical about this. On the one hand, people really want autonomy. They really want to be independent agents in the universe. They want volition. They want will. They want free choice. And they abhor the idea that somebody or something would be micromanaging and controlling them. People want to think what they want to think. They want to feel what they want to feel. They want to express what they want to express, love whomever they want to live, sing the song that's in their heart, eat the food that they most like. I mean, people, that's what people really, really want. But here's the catch. If you are given the freedom to create anything, that must also come with the freedom to create anything. If you have the freedom to create anything, you have the freedom to create anything. So we get mad at God when we feel like we are restricted and constricted and don't have enough opportunities just to do whatever it is that we say we want to do. And then we get mad at God for empowering people to just do whatever they want to do. It's like we're so hypocritical. We're so hypocritical. It's not that God is out there doing the stuff. We're using God's energy the wrong way. Okay? Is fire bad? Fire can warm your house. Fire can burn it down. Is water bad? Water can water your garden, or water can wash your house away. Is a knife intrinsically bad? A knife can carve, you know, beautiful carpentry for you, and a knife can kill you and stab you. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with it. But the impulse, the energy, the creative expression, that to me, it's always good. You may abuse it. You may use it the wrong way. You may use it for the wrong purposes, but that doesn't make the thing bad. If I use my words to cut you down and to denigrate you, that doesn't mean that language itself is bad. That's not what it means to me. So that's what I mean when I say that God is good all the time. It means that no matter how bad things are, you can always recover from your blindness. That there's always some beauty to see. That no matter how lost you think you are, you can't really be lost. God hasn't lost you. You just don't know where you are. But God's not confused about where you are. It's kind of like the footprints in the sand poem, where the person's walking along the beach and is complaining because when there were wonderful times, they saw two sets of footprints. When it was tough times, they only saw one, and they assumed that God had abandoned them in those times when they only saw one set of footprints. And the response back is, no, when you only saw one set, I was carrying you. When I say God is good all the time, what I'm saying is that there's always possibility. There's always potential. That everybody and everything is redeemable. That's what I mean. And the irony is that if you only judge by the appearances and judge by your emotions and how things feel to you in that moment, you're going to miss your blessing. Because I guarantee you that anybody listening to this program will know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that the greatest and best moments of your life were times that you thought you weren't going to make it. Times you thought you were going to die. Times you were so angry or hurt or frustrated or whatever. Or the doors closed. Things got taken away or you lost or the road shifted and changed and you were so frustrated. And when you look back, you see, not only was all of that purposeful, but most people wouldn't turn the time back. If you gave them the chance to undo all of it, most people would, because they have become their bigger and higher self on the journey. So my spirit letters always say, in those moments when we're saying, you know, well, why did God let this and that happen? And God, how could you let this happen? The spirit voice said, I ask you the same question back. How could y'all let that happen? And when it got posed like that, boy, all of a sudden, I started really seeing how many opportunities there have been and continue to be for that intervention that for whatever reasons we just have never taken. Life is a blast. It's a party. And it is just waiting for us to show up. Things don't have to be all right. Ask our ancestors in slavery. They take away the drums, shoot, beat your thighs. You know, you know, I mean, when you get the spirit in your heart, there's nothing people can do to snuff that out. Don't empower people, places, and things to steal your joy. Don't give it up. Rejoice. Joy is already here. Rejoice in this day. I know you got to take a break.
Well, after what you just dropped, we have to take a break. So just let it settle in and marinate. And I got some follow-up from last week. And yeah, let's take a break. Break, breathe, take it in. You're listening to Living in the Yes on LifeConversationsRadio.com with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We call her Rev D. The number is 347-426-3346. Ah, whew, this thing called life. Let's take a break. You can post your questions in the chat room or on the Life Conversations Radio like page. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversation.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Life Conversations Radio.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference.
You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mbasa Sophia, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today, and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. You are listening to Living in the Yes on LifeConversationsRadio.com. The host is Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We call her Rev D, and you can too. She's the author of The Sacred Yes, and the universe is rumbling to that announcement. And your deepest intent, you want to pick up those books to support you on your journey so you can be an active participant in knowing that you have free will to transform this planet. Rev D, we have a question. Let's go to Joseph, and then we have somebody else wants to say shout out. Let's go to Joseph first. Hello, Joseph. How are you?
Yes, how you doing?
Hello, wonderful. Joe.
All right, I'm calling from Greensboro, North Carolina, and I don't know how I stumbled across your show, but I was clicking on a couple things, and I came across your show, but I was listening to you talk, and, you know, you say people are angry with God, but God gives man free will, and people need to understand that their free will, you know, God is perfect, and people need to understand if they're angry with God, it's because of their own decisions that they had made or are making today, and they have to understand that the Word of God is their guidance and their purpose and actually their guidebook into living day to day. And, you know, you talk about politics, and like today, everyone's concerned about what happened in South Carolina. And you get all this misinformation out there about the Confederate flag and the South. And really, we're sidetracked from the real issues of what is happening in society. And you know, what's your opinion on that? Those two things I brought up.
Well, you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly that I think that people need to stop blaming God for the choices of human free will. I do believe that if there's a lot of scapegoating about the South, and that there are much larger issues to discuss here, that it's easier to get into the sensationalism of you know, what happened, but not to really take a look at why is that going on? You know, what is the bigger, like, what is the bigger context here? But more so than just the why is it going on, but what do we need to do to make sure that doesn't keep going on and happening? And, you know, I would like to invite people's discussions up to that, not just an analysis of how we've gotten to where we are in society, but where do we go from here? And how do we get there? That, to me, is the conversation that needs to be the focus of attention. And I appreciate
your call. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I appreciate you taking the time to, you know, put me on and, you know, ask that question. I mean, that was a philosophical and a pretty deep understanding of what I had stated. But yeah, you're right. We need to analyze the, you know, the very subjects. I mean, for instance, you know, that tragedy that happened in South Carolina. Tell me something. When you turn on the news, how many times do you see the shooter or do you see him talk about the shooter? They're more concentrated on a flag than they are the actually the crime that actually occurred. Or what about the victims? You know, that how much time have they focused on the victims? How are they getting along today? What are they, you know, how are they progressing and after, you know, their family members were murdered? You know, instead they're worried about a flag. That's more important than the victims in the story. You know, and it's disgusting when you look at mainstream media today. And you know, I'm glad you let me make my point there. It's just, you know, I just feel that's my opinion.
Well, I thank you for your opinion.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you,
Joseph. You're welcome. Thank you very much. You are listening to Living in the Yes with Rev D. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Let's go to Joy Grace Harmony. Hey, Joy Grace Harmony.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you doing?
So we actually met. I've been living in the Yes and practicing more and more. 3 years ago in July, I let go of my place to live in Tarzana, and I've been traveling, really leaning into the sacred Yes in such
Very
a big
good.
Way. And I met you in May at your church near Santa Cruz for my friend Jai Hudis' birthday party with my friend Everett Courtney, and we were the God Is. And I came from, I had been on the East Coast where I met Celeste Morgan, and I was out there at the Agape Revelation when I met Everett, and I said yes to that and came back to California and then said yes to my friend's party. I'm saying yes, I'm at Bliss Superfoods International right now, bringing my friends next to CEO Space because it's a conscious entrepreneurial group. And then I said yes to go to New York and see my friend Diva Jones from Agape. And after that, I don't know, but God's got amazing things. So I just let my yes unfold into a bigger yes. And the book is called Never a Dull Moment, and it's about to be written. So it's just what happens when you keep saying yes and yes. So
this is what happened.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I'm so grateful. And I'm now I've played you. I went online. I saw you. I was like, oh, my God, I've met you. And you're amazing and wonderful. And I just appreciate everything. I'm so excited to say hello. Last time I said hello, I was in Omaha when my dad had transitioned. And I was back home saying yes to the family. So now I'm on the next leg of the journey. And it's beautiful. I say, just jump.
Very good. Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. You're the best. Have a blessed rest of your summer.
Okay, thank you,
Joy Grace Harmony. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Living in the yes. And yes, Rev D, I want to, unless you want to share something, but I wanted to talk a little bit about something you brought up last week. Is there anything you want to add before that?
I'm good.
Now, because you have my head spinning, and I see it. So last week on the show, and listeners, if you missed that show, go listen to it. And I think my memory serves me right. I'll find it. It's Rev D. I said something about, I'll look for it and I'll let you know. But it's about current affairs, and it was such a powerful conversation. And on that show, Rev, you talked about one of the things you said is Black folks don't have the luxury of being seen as an individual. The Black people are seen as a group, they're treated as a group, thought of as a group, and responded to as a group. But white people have the privilege and honor of being treated as an individual. And I really never heard that before. And when I think about it, it's so much, I get so much insight and clarity in some of the things that's going on in the world. And I just want you to speak more to that end, because I always not just, we don't just talk about what the problem is. What can we do now? How do we, in our saying yes, as Joy Grace Harmony said so beautifully, as we say yes to life, to the healing, how do we bridge the gap between being Black people being seen as a group and white people having a privilege of being seen as an individual, and it's causing a lot of friction, a lot of pain, and masked as racism and other things?
Well, let me just, before I address that, say this emphatically, is that it's a power dynamic. And this isn't just about race. This is what happens every time that you have a group that's a dominant group and a group that's a marginalized group. So we could change the issue. We could say, we could make it age. And it's a similar kind of thing. You hear people talking about kids or teenagers, you know, those kids around the block or the you know, teenagers coming in the store, whatnot. They don't, they're undifferentiated in people's mind. They're just this amorphous block. We do that around anything that, you know, sexual orientation. It's the same thing. And everybody else, the heterosexuals, they have, you know, lovely families and relationships and all the rest. But then there's just those LGBT people. There's just those queer people, those homosexuals. They're just this like amorphous group. And whenever one does anything, it's deemed to represent all of them. You know, so you go and find in a parade the most bizarre looking thing that you can possibly find and put that the face of everybody. And so it's a power dynamic, okay? It's not just about race, okay? I want to make that plain, that there's nothing, there's not like some white gene that produces that phenomena. And the greater the power differential is between the groups, the more that dynamic becomes the case. And, you know, I mean, if we're honest about it, I watch Black people do the same thing. I live in California. I watch Black people do the same thing to Latinos. I mean, the exact same thing. This sense of, well, yeah, there's all of us, but then they're just this amorphous group, goes invisible, not really noticed. You just see in people's minds, well, there's just a bunch of them hanging out on the corner, you know, looking for a job or whatever. But if something goes down, it won't be about a particular one, it'll be ascribed to the whole group. Yeah, I mean, let's just keep it real. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. there's just a way that since race is so huge and race is so pervasive, consequence of this kind of behavior is extreme. Okay? This is why you get a Trayvon Martin shot down in a hoodie. Because there's this criminal face that's put on the overlay of black people, particularly black males, where they aren't being seen as individuals. So in terms of what we need to do about this, my answer as a diversity trainer is that we need to meet each other in the middle. We need to meet each other in the middle. Okay. When you look at people, it's almost like concentric circles, where the big outer circle would be this way, like every single person is like every other person, no difference. This would be like our universal oneness or our innate humanity. We all eat, we all breathe, we die, we laugh, we cry, you know, we love, this is basic way of just being a human being. Okay? So there's ways in which each person is like everybody else. And then there's some ways where each of us are like some of us. Okay, that would be like a circle within that. Now, this is the area that I would call culture. Ways that you're like some of us. And then within that would be another circle within that where there's ways in which you're like no other person. Your individuality. Okay. Ways you're like everybody. Ways you're like some people. Ways in which you're like nobody else. What I find as a diversity trainer is that somehow or another, we get more comfortable having a discussion about either one or three. Either us as individuals, my traits, my taste, my whatever, or this way in which we're all like everybody else, but nobody really wants to come too near the ways we're like some people and not like other people. Because that's where the inequalities come. That's where the inequities come. That's where the imbalances of power are. It's in that realm. And that's what we don't want to talk about that much. So when I say that we need to meet each other halfway here, if I go back to the original context here about race, what I would say is that we have this situation now where white people always get to be the individual and black people are always a group, that I think that black people need an opportunity to be an individual. This is the line that everybody quotes all the time in King's I Have a Dream speech. I wish people would listen to whole speech, but folks say, that's another Oprah show. I wish people would listen to the whole speech, but just the part that people know is this, that one day my kids will be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. That's this exactly what I'm talking about. That they can be seen for who they are as people and not all of this assumptions put in a group just because of the color of their skin. So yes, it would be really lovely if King's dream could come forth. I'm not saying that we're no longer part of our group, but that's not all that we are. Where we actually have individual characters that can be paid attention to. Now, on the other hand,
with my white brethren and sisters, that I think it would be really nice if there was not always that privilege of being able to hang out as an individual, but to develop the capacity to really be able to see that collectively they are part of a group. That collectively they do have certain powers and privileges and entitlements in society. That there really is an experience that they have that's not like everybody else's experience. And with some ownership of that, then we can start to get somewhere in coming up with solutions. But we can't come up with solutions, have solutions about race relations until everybody has one. We can't have a discussion about race relations as long as there's some people who don't think they have a race. Because then that blinds you to the fact that there's nothing static about race, that all of it is in juxtaposition to everything else. It's like what it means for me to be a Black American is meaningless outside of the context of living in a minority status in a white-dominated America. Without that piece of the puzzle, you can't get a full flavor for what that means. Now, I'm not saying that I'm minus that middle circle, that culture circle, where, of course, we have culture, we have values, and you know, certain ethics and style, and you know, our jokes and our ebonics and, you know, and all these things that are rich and flavorful. But I wouldn't even need to describe myself as an African American or a Black American if that's all that there was. That the only reason why we even come up with identities in the first place is by comparison. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm not judging at all. I'm saying that I believe that that is part of the solution. Part of the solution is when we can be all three. When we can realize, hey, there's some ways I'm an individual, you're an individual. That's true. There's some ways in which we're just all part of big humanity, period. And there are some ways in which you have affinities to certain groups, and I have affinities to certain groups, and because of that, the circumstances that we go through, the conditions that we go through, the experiences that we have may be really different. And I think that's what we have to honor. To be able to move forward without having any one of those lessen in any degree the other. It reminds me of a quote from one of my favorite poets, Audre Lorde. She was a very out African-American lesbian, and she was Poet Laureate of New York. She died, like, right at my age, I think in 84. And I love this quote. Well, two of her quotes. One hangs in my bedroom, which is, "When I dare to be powerful, to use my strength in the service of my vision, it becomes less and less important whether I am afraid." I love that. I love that definition of strength, using my power in the service of my vision. But the quote that I was going to bring up here is she says, if you want to be my friend, forget I'm black, but never forget I'm black. Yeah.
Yes.
It's this irony in there. You want to be my friend? Hey, just forget I'm black. But don't ever forget I'm black.
Be colorblind, but have your eyes wide open.
Like, don't make it an issue. Don't make it an issue, but don't be blind.
Yes. Yes.
You know? Yeah. So I know it's a long-winded answer, but...
And you know you got room for that. As a matter of fact, that's what I keep telling you, anything less than that, I'm like, what's going on, Rev D? Because you just
have
to...
Well, I
want
to be thorough with it. Because
yes.
You ask good questions, and I don't want to just give snap answers. I'm not trying to be smart. What I'm trying to do is give the listening audience something that they can use. Mm. You know, a way of looking, a way of seeing, a new lens, a tool, some kind of way that they can take this into other conversations. Even if it's no more than to challenge it. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You know, but it at least changes the conversation.
Yes. Yes.
We're not just going around the same old block. Is there anybody who has one last question there before we close out?
Well, Joy Grace just said something. Anybody listening, I see you, Glenda. Press 1 if you have a question or comments or thoughts. Or we're getting ready to release the show. And all the other listeners, 3, 2, 1. It would be funny if they press, oh, wait a minute. So I think, what just happened? Something happened on the phone line. Oh, I think someone just joined. Well, no. I think it's a good place to leave that deep soul food that you just shared with us. Because that, you know, I really believe it stops us from just pointing fingers and really being accountable, being responsible for our role in what we see in the world. And I just thank you. I thank you, and I look forward to more conversations. And listeners, if there's anything you want to talk about, feel free to email us, ade@lifeconversationsradio.com. ade@lifeconversationsradio.com. So, Rev D, anything else you want to add? Anything that's coming up that you want to tell our listeners about? Or anything that's going on at Inner Light Ministries? You stream your service every Sunday.
No, you know, stuff is good. I just started a new virtual class.
Okay.
It's not too late to get in on that. We just had one session last week, and that is recorded. If somebody would like to participate in that. It is called Getting Off the Victim Villain Hero Triangle. This way that we have a narrative and a way of looking at life that always has those three roles in there. Somebody or something's the victim, somebody or something's the villain, and somebody or something is the hero. And how do we get off that rat race? The virtual class is on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. That's Pacific time. So that's noon on the East Coast. It's an hour and a half. And feel free to contact me, Rev D at innerlightministries.com.
And I'll get you in touch with my assistant if you might be interested in doing that.
Mm-hmm. And you can find out more about Rev D by going to innerlightministries.com, innerlightministries.com, and her services are streamed every Sunday. You can be part of it. Rev D, thank you very much once again. We appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay.
You too. All right. Life is good. It's getting better. It is time to release the show. It is time to keep yielding to what we're asking and what we're saying yes to. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. Join me tomorrow for The Art of Loving from Pieces to Peace. 12academy.com. That's a class I'm teaching tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. This is Troy Horn. Miracles. You are a miracle. I am a miracle. We are miracles. TroyHorn.com is his website. Be well and be true to yourself. Peace and blessings.
It's leaving your mark on the planet, saying you were here.
We are.
It's hard to remember, yeah, all the gifts we had, until we have to surrender, oh, when the times turn bad. So when you think about tragedy, and when you think about pain, remember hope's round the corner, calling out your name. Every smile you share, every heart you heal, is leaving your mark on the planet, saying you are here.
We are miracles. We are.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.